We're going to be looking at the book of Galatians for the next few weeks. So your homework, should you choose to accept it, is to go home and read Galatians this week so that you're somewhat familiar with it. But we're going to start with chapter 1. So let's read that together. It says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men or through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory evermore. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is not really another gospel, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel of heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former manner of life in Judaism, how I used to persecute the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries, and among my countrymen, being more extremely zealous for my ancestral traditions. But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other of the apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now, in what I am writing to you, I assure you before God that I am not lying. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ, but only they kept hearing, he who once persecuted us is now preaching the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they were glorifying God because of me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can read what Paul wrote at your hand. Father, we thank you because we can hear and understand what you have told us. And we ask that as we read your word today, as we look at it, you will help us to grow in our walk with you. You will help us to understand why it's important for us to know who Paul was and what he was doing and why he did it, so that we can share in this good news and pass this gospel, the one true gospel, on to those who are around us in this world. We thank you and we ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Paul starts out and he identifies himself as an apostle. Now, an apostle, the word means one who was sent out with. And that's important because one of the problems that Paul had in Galatia was that the people who were there, what we'll call them Judaizers, those people were specifically stating that Paul was not an apostle, that somehow he was lesser, and therefore what he was teaching was not complete or not correct. And so he starts off with his letter to the Galatian church and says, hey, I am an apostle. And don't forget who I am. And he's going to go through in this first chapter and identify how he is named an apostle. So Paul's identified himself as something other than what we would call ourselves. He also notes that he wasn't sent by men. He didn't go and get his revelation from men. From Jesus Christ. And this is an important thing as well. Paul's enemies were trying to take away his credibility and to state that he wasn't a real apostle. So let's look at the apostles. There were 12 apostles originally. They were all hand-picked men by Jesus Christ. He chose them, he taught them, he trained them, he poured himself into those 12 men. Now, there were other people who followed around with Jesus. At the very end, there were about 120 who were there, give or take. And so there were about that many, but there were a lot of other people who followed him and were called disciples because they were learners of the rabbi, okay? So those 12 men were chosen by Jesus Christ and set apart by him. Now, if you remember, after Jesus was crucified, Judas, who had led the Jews to him in Gethsemane, Judas went out and killed himself when he realized his sin. And so Peter says, we need to replace him. And he goes back to Isaiah, and he says, in Psalms, and he says, this man needs to be replaced. So how did they replace him? Well, they set a criterion for him. And in Acts 1, verses 21 and 22, Peter points out how that person would be chosen. And in order to qualify to be a chosen apostle at that point, you had to have been somebody who had been with Jesus from the time of his baptism by John to his resurrection. You had to be with him that whole time. Well, that's about the three-year period, you know. So you had to be with Jesus and have learned under him throughout that period of time. They put forth two names, Barsabbas and Matthias, and Matthias was chosen as the man who would replace Judas. So those are your new 12 apostles. So we don't see anyone else called an apostle until we come to Paul. And so when you look at that, you say, well, Paul wasn't there. Paul wasn't with from the time of Jesus' baptism till the time of his resurrection. So he would not qualify under that criterion. So keep that in mind, because Paul doesn't try to qualify under that. So we're going to see where he comes from now. Points out that he also was the founder of all the churches in Galatia. And now we're going to go get a little history lesson here. So I'm not a historian, so you have to take what I got, which is looking up in some books to find this. But Galatia was a country that was founded about 200 years before Christ when the Gauls entered into the area and took it over. And Galatia means country of the Gauls were those people who were there. Then later on, the Romans took over the territory, and they captured not only the country of Galatia, but the provinces around it. And by the time Jesus was born, and by the time Paul writes his letter, the area of Galatia included all of those provinces. So there are two schools of thought. Was Paul writing to the country of Galatia? Was he writing to all of the provinces? And it's not clear, because it depends on how you look at it. And there's two sides to it. The only thing I can tell you is I think he was writing to everyone, because in his first missionary trip, Paul went to Antioch, Iconium, Derbe, Lystra. All these are cities in the larger province or in the larger territory of Galatia. And so it's likely he was writing to everyone there. And certainly because Paul was writing God's word, he's writing to us today as well. So Paul was looking at this, and so the presumption we're going to make as we study through Galatia is that Paul was writing to all of those people, and even to us today. And so we're going to take from that position forward. Now, Paul had always had a long-term affection with his converts, with people who he had led to Christ. He did not just teach them or lead them to Christ and then abandon them. In Matthew 28:28, it tells us to make disciples and teach them to obey all that I have commanded you, right? So winning people to Christ is not enough. That's not our job. First of all, we don't win people to Christ. Christ wins people to Christ. But when people come to Christ, our responsibility is to teach them. And Paul understood that. So he didn't just lead people and then leave and abandon them. He taught them. He led them. He prayed with them. He stayed in contact with them. He continued to write to them and keep in touch with them. And in fact, Paul, when he heard that the people that he had led to Christ were now being led astray, he became concerned and he writes this letter to them to tell them what's going on, to straighten them out, and to make sure that they understand what he had taught them. So in verse 4, he says that Jesus died of his own free will to pay the price for our sin, to rescue us from our sinful life, and so that we can live with him forever. This was the gospel that Paul had taught. This is the gospel that we teach today, that through Jesus Christ and the love of God, by his grace, we are saved of our sins, and we are then able to spend eternity with him. There is only one gospel. Now, when Paul comes to this point, he says, there's a problem here. He says, I'm astonished that you're going to trade this gospel for something else. Well, what was happening here was there were Jewish people who came into Galatia and were teaching the people of the church that in order to be a good Christian, in order to be a complete Christian, you had to obey the law. And you had to obey the law and believe in Jesus Christ. And that's a false doctrine. That's not another gospel. Paul says that's false teaching. That's not correct. And so Paul was warning them that they were being led astray by these people. Jesus came to earth so that we would be saved. If the law could save us, there was no reason for Jesus to come to earth. If you could be saved by obedience to the law, then people would be saved by obedience to law, and there was no reason for Jesus to come. But the reality is the law cannot save us, and we require a new covenant for God to make, which was through Jesus Christ. And that is what Jesus did. And so Paul says, I taught you correctly that through the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, you will be saved and nothing else. There's no need for anything else. And he points this out to them that this is the gospel that he taught. And any other gospel is a false teaching. Now, we have it today in our world, unfortunately. We have people who are out teaching incorrect gospels. They're teaching that not only do you have to have Jesus, but you have to have something else, some other teaching, some other learning, some other special knowledge. And anytime you hear that, you need to throw it away. You need to ignore it because it's not a real gospel. It's a false teaching that comes from Satan. Paul goes out on here and he points out that the gospel he taught was given to him by Jesus himself. Paul, at this point, he kind of goes back. He does a recap. He goes, hey, let me go back and tell you what I was like. And he kind of reminds them. He says, I was a rising star in Judaism. I was advancing faster than all the other people my age. I was way ahead of all the other guys. I was ahead of them, and I was going up, and I was zealous. In fact, I was so zealous, I was prosecuting this church, and I was trying to destroy it. Think about that. This is Paul, who is out to destroy the church of Jesus Christ, who's now writing to defend the very thing he was trying to destroy. To read more about that, you go to Philippians 3, verses 4 through 6. Paul goes through and talks about his lineage. And he's kind of there poking fun at other people. But he says, if you want to know a man who's a Jew, let me tell you about a man who's a Jew. And he lists all his criterion. Okay? But in fact, Paul was the one who held the coats for the men who stoned Stephen in Jerusalem. Now think about this. If you go back and you look in Acts 7, and for homework, you can go and read this. Acts 7, read the whole chapter and the first verse of chapter 8. But if you read that, it tells you the story of Stephen, and it tells you of his death by stoning, because he was opposing the Sanhedrin. And at the end of that story, at the end of chapter 7, it tells us that the coats were set at the feet of a young man named Saul. And this is the very same Saul who was on the road to Damascus when Jesus Christ came to him and changed him. And he not only changed his heart, he changed his name to Paul. And now Paul, that very same Saul who was destroying the church, who stood and approved of the death of Stephen because he was in opposition to the Jews, this is the very same Saul who is now Paul writing back to the Galatian church and saying, those men who are trying to come into you and disrupt you and change your understanding of God are wrong and they're sinful and you need to stay away from them. And so this is the very same guy. And then he tells us something else about him. He tells us that after that happened, when he's in Damascus, he didn't go up to Jerusalem. And this is an important part of his message. He says, I didn't go up to Jerusalem to the other apostles. He says, I didn't go to get approval from men. He says, I went into Arabia. And he spent time with Jesus in Arabia. And he received from Jesus the revelation that he got. And it came specifically from him. And he tells us that it was about 3 years later that he finally came back out. And it was during this time that the gospel was revealed to him, and that all the teaching that Jesus had given to all the other men were also given to him. And it was about 3 years. He went up to Jerusalem, and he spent a whole 2 weeks there, 15 days. And in 15 days, he saw two people. He saw Cephas, who is Peter, and he saw James, the brother of Jesus. So in 2 weeks, it's not likely that he learned everything that those guys had been taught in 3 years by Jesus in just 15 days. So he didn't go up there to learn. He went up there to meet with them. And the people in Jerusalem didn't really trust him very well. And because of this, he had to leave. And he went to other cities and he began to go out onto his missionary journeys. And it's this change that's taking place. And there was a reason for it, and he told us about it. See, in Paul's life, he had a bright future as a Jew. And Jesus said, no, I've got other plans for you. God said, I'm going to take you from where you are, and I'm going to send you to the Gentiles. And this is kind of I'll say it's a cruel joke. It's not really, but think about this. This is Paul. Paul, who has studied all his life as a Jew. Paul, who has trained under Gamaliel, who was one of the great teachers of the Jewish. In fact, Gamaliel and his writings are still read today. And so Gamaliel was a prominent teacher of the Jews, and Paul studied under him. He was a rising star. He was a Pharisee. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was right up. Than Paul, because he knew them so well. And so God says, you know what, Paul? Send you to the Gentiles. They don't know anything about Judaism. So Judaism won't be of any use to you. You'll have to rely on me and what I teach you in order to do the job I've called you to do. And that's exactly what Paul did. And he even says here, God called me to send me to the Gentiles. Okay, I'm going to ask the tough question. How many of you are Jewish by birth? Okay, neither am I. What does that make us? Gentiles. Because if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Therefore, we're all Gentiles. So Paul was sent to us. Good to know, isn't it? In verse 15, Paul states that God set him apart from birth and called him by God's grace. And God revealed Jesus to Paul so that he could preach to the Gentiles. This is a fascinating concept. And Paul talks about it in his letter to the Ephesians. We were reading it on Tuesday night in our small group. Paul says that we are known by God before the creation of the earth. Now think about that. God chose you before the creation of the world, before anything was done. He didn't choose you, before 1952 when they wrote the Internal Revenue Code. He didn't know you before 1861 when they started the Civil War. He didn't know you before 1776, before this country began. He knew you before he founded the world. Before creation, he knew you. And in Deuteronomy 6:7, it says, I didn't love you because you were a great nation. In fact, you were the smallest of all the nations. He says, I loved you because I loved you. Try to put that in your brain. I always have trouble with this. God says, I loved you because I loved you. You know what that means? There is nothing I ever did that made God love me. And there is nothing I will ever do that made God love me. God loved me because he chose to love me. And he loved me before the creation. That's astounding. It's amazing. But God has always been there and has always loved you. We're talking about it this week, and the more I think about it, the more struggle I have with trying to understand that. But that's okay. It gives me something to do at night. That means that what Paul writes is true because Paul was given the revelation by Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if Paul received his revelation directly from Jesus Christ, he received the truth. Therefore, when he writes it, it is truth. And we can understand the truth because he wrote it to us. And the Holy Spirit was in his hand writing. This is something we need to maybe take a minute to think about. The Bible was not written by men at the direction of God. The Bible was written by God through men. Therefore, his word is perfect and truth and correct, and nothing will change that. Nothing we say can change that, and nothing anybody else says can change that. And that's an important thing for us to know. So God chose Paul, the hater of the church, to be his special messenger to the Gentiles. It's absolutely amazing what God can do. This is an important point because it shows us that Paul was not eligible to be an apostle according to the standard that they had used to choose Matthias. But Paul was an apostle because God chose him as an apostle. The same way that Jesus Christ chose the 12, so Jesus Christ chose Paul to be his apostle. So his apostleship is exactly the same as Peter's and John's and James. His apostleship is not different. It's exactly the same. Now, Paul is insistent that he wants the readers to understand that the gospel he taught them did not come from men, but from Jesus. The gospel that Paul writes is exactly the same as the gospel that the apostles in Jerusalem were teaching. And yet he hadn't gone up to Jerusalem to learn the gospel. So he received it from Jesus. Now it makes perfect sense when you think about it that the apostle in Jerusalem and the apostle Paul are teaching the exact same gospel because they learned from the same person, who's Jesus Christ. But it's important that the Galatians understood. It's important that we understand. Paul was not teaching what he heard from Peter and James. He was teaching what Jesus told him. And so when we read what he's teaching is from Jesus. Teaching is from the Holy Spirit. And since the Holy Spirit leads all Christians, then his teaching came from God. And we can trust that. Now, the Jews were misleading the Galatians. They were trying to teach them a gospel of Jesus plus the law. Jesus plus something else. And today there are people out there who try to teach, there are churches out there who try to teach that you have to know Jesus, but you also have to know this other teaching that we have. Or you have to know Jesus, but you also have to have this. And if you don't have this, you're not really a good Christian. You're not really a complete Christian. Or you're not really a Christian at all. And we have to say no, because the gospel God tells us is that our salvation comes through the grace of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, end of discussion. Hebrews says that when Jesus finished his work, he sat down at the right hand of God. He didn't sit down because he was tired. He sat down because he was done. There is nothing else. There is nothing else to be added to it. There is nothing else needed. He was finished, and he sat down because he was completed. And that's important for us to know. And the Jews there were trying to lead them astray. And Paul says, don't listen to that, because there is no other covenant but the covenant of Jesus Christ. And today we see that happening, and we need to fight against it. We don't need anything else. Acts 4:12 says it succinctly. Listen, all there is salvation in no one else. And there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name, there is no other work, there is no other anything except Jesus Christ and his blood. When Jesus was done, he sat down because he was finished, and nothing else is required for us. Paul says in Galatians 8:9, and this is a scary thing, but listen to what he says. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, which is Jesus, let him be accursed. Now, my NIV says this, let him be eternally condemned. That's a powerful statement. And not only does Paul say that once, he repeats it. He says, again, I'm going to say to you, if anyone teaches you anything else but the gospel that you heard of Jesus Christ, let him be eternally condemned. Paul is deadly serious about this, because he wants to be certain that all the people know what God has told us. All the people need to know that this is the case. The gospel comes from Jesus. Paul is fighting for these churches in Galatia because he doesn't want them to be led astray by false teaching. And we need to be just as careful today that we're not led astray. The church is constantly under attack. The world tells us you need to do this if you're a Christian. You need to do this. You need to do that. Who is the world to tell God's people what we're to do? The reality is God's word tells God's people what we are to do. And that's the most important thing, is that we obey what God's word says and not what the world says, because the world is led by Satan. And we don't listen to Satan because he's a liar and a thief. And so we don't pay any attention to him. But if we don't read the word of God, we will get caught up in what the world says. Because we will listen to what the world says. Guess what? Every single day the world is telling you, do this and do this and do this and do this. And if you're not reading the word every day, all you're going to hear is what the world has to say. And pretty soon the world is going to creep into your life. The reality is, God tells us what we are to do. He wrote his word is truth, and we need to obey his word, and we need to follow what he has to say. And so, we need to read our word every day. We need to be in the Bible every day. We need to know what he says, and that's the way that we'll defend against unsound teaching from the world. For us today, we need to remember two things that come out of this first chapter, two things that are going to be important as we study the rest of this. The first is that Paul is an apostle of God, chosen by Jesus Christ. He is an apostle. And because he was chosen by God, his authenticity as an apostle is not to be questioned because he was chosen by God. And the second thing, in fact, Peter, in 2 Peter 3, 15 and 16, Peter even what Paul says is scripture. So even Peter, if we look at that and say, well, Peter was definitely an apostle, even Peter agrees that Paul's words are scripture from God and that he is an apostle. And the second thing that we need to know is that Paul's writing was led by God. He was writing what God told him to write. And therefore, because it is the word of God, it is absolute truth. And we need to treat it as absolute truth. And this is important as we're going to go through this letter to the Galatian church, that we need to keep in mind that all that he said was truth for God. And for us, we need to be obedient to it because it is God's word. We need to keep this in mind as we study the rest of this letter. So as we're going through the next few weeks, I want you to keep this in mind that Paul was an apostle of God and his word was from God and is the absolute truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you because we know that your word is truth. We know that Paul was your apostle. We know that what he wrote to us came from you. And therefore, Father, as we study and we learn about what you have called us to be, I pray that you will help us to open our hearts and minds, to listen to what you have to say, to apply it in our lives, to let it sink into our hearts and change us to become the people you want us to be. We know, Father, that the church at Galatia was struggling. And they were struggling with some of the same things that we struggle with today. The world is always out there trying to tell us what to do, but we want to listen to you. We want to abide by what you have to say. And I pray, Father, that as we go through this, you will hear us and you will speak to us and you will fill our hearts with your word, that we can become the people you want us to be. We ask all this, Father, in the name of our Savior, and we ask it so that he will receive all the glory and honor. Amen.